Welcome to the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. I pray that today's message is an encouragement to you in your journey of growth and development in Christ.
I'm so blessed to be here. My goodness, it's a wonderful experience to be able to do a Zoom with you, and I hope I do things right because it's all new for me, but I wanted to talk to you about unlocking the wisdom of Christ. I have a book. If we could go to the next slide, I think it tells about the book that I have. Yes, it's called Finding Wisdom, and it's really a book of my heart, and it's a book that constantly is writing inside of it. And I also have a companion book that goes with it. It has exercises and applications, and it's called On Getting There. And they are both on my website here, Kluwani.com store. And I hope you'll get that, because this book about wisdom is just a constantly moving forward idea that we all really need to have. So can we go to the next slide, please? James asks us a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good deeds, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. Who's wise? What a question. Who's wise and understanding? Let him show it. How do we show our wisdom? By our good life and our deeds that are done in humility. So I have a degree on my wall. Does that show that I'm wise? Of course not. But I can wear all kinds of clerical clothes and dress all up with chains and ropes and beads. And does that make me wise? So many people want to do that. So we can take off the slides for a while. But did you see the lamp there? Yeah, did you hear about the guy who found one of those lamps and those genie lamps, and he started to rub it, and sure enough, out popped the genie. And the genie told him, of course, the same old story, he has three wishes. Well, the man just could not believe his good fortune, so he thought for a moment, and he said, well, I want a house on the beach, and I want to make it a 20,000 square foot house that has a place to dock my boat, and poof, there he was in his new house. And then the genie said, well, what is your next wish? And the man said, well, I want a black BMW, fully loaded, best stereo system that money can buy. And poof, the guy was suddenly driving a car. That car, that BMW fully loaded. And he was cruising down the highway, and a commercial came on the radio, and he started singing, oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. And poof! Sometimes our wishes are not what we expect, right? If God gave you one wish, what would it be? I know I'd wish he'd give me 1,000 wishes, but assuming that that's not the case, what would you wish for right now? What would you wish for? So, Father, I just thank you for this time. Lord God, I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, that we do desire to know you and to hear you in greater depths. Lord, we want to be part of your revealing. Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, that we can have ears to hear, that we can receive revelation, Lord, that we need, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where we've needed wisdom more than right now. How about you? Is anybody there with me? There's such conflicting news. Oh my goodness, conflicting news, conflicting medical data about what we should do. Conspiracy theories, are you with me? Struggles to live. Loneliness. Oh my goodness, so many people that call me are struggling with this place of loneliness. I've been watching a lot of news reports about how many people are having bad dreams right now because there's this underlying panic that's always going in our subconscious. There's anger and rage and distrust and hatred over mistreatment. Is that right? And we're coming to the place where we don't only have a physical pandemic, but there's an emotional pandemic that's coming alongside of it. This pandemic has caused a dramatic increase of domestic violence all around the world. We have preachers, God-loving preachers, giving us different prophetic words that don't go together. And we have to ask, where is wisdom? Where in this? It's the most difficult time to make decisions. And one of the reasons is there's too many options. There's too many places. There's too much input. I've decided I'm going to listen to the main doctors, and politicians are not doctors. But we have to discern the real agenda. We have to guard our words because our words are co-creative. And we have to decide what choices we need to make. The important thing is that we need to limit our choices so that we can begin to make the right choices. There was an experiment about happiness and what affected people's happiness. And it was Ingar and Lepper, who a scientist who randomized two groups of people. And one group got to choose from 30 kinds of chocolate, what their favorite one was. And then another group, the other group, was able to choose from 6 kinds of chocolate, what their favorite chocolate was. And of course, I want to be in the one with the 30 chocolates. But the subjects that wanted to have the 30 chocolates, they ended up being way more dissatisfied and regretful of the choices they made than the ones that only had the choice of 6. Because decisions, when we have too many options, it's too difficult for us to make choices. So the better strategy for us, and that's just it's a true study, but it's just an idea of why we need to limit our choices. Okay? So that's one of the things we're looking at here. James said when we started out, who's wise? Is anybody wise? Now, James was the biological brother of Jesus. And he was the president of the Antioch Church. And he's saying, who is wise? Show that by the guiding influence of your life and the actions of your life. Demonstrate it through your character. It's not through pomp and circumstance that we look wise. It's not about us being able to win every debate that makes us look wise, but it's our character, our moral goodness that causes us to be wise. Who's wise? Who's wise? My God. So when we look at Proverbs, it's the book on wisdom. And it talks about two different kinds of women, the foolish and the wise. The foolish or the stupid believer. The foolish is called the adulteress, the contentious, the clamorous. And it says about her that she doesn't build, but she sits at the door. I'm just collapsing Proverbs for you here. The foolish woman sits at the door. She sits near the gate. She calls out with her own advice, and she teaches about death. There's a comedian who said, it's so simple to be wise, he said. Just say something stupid, think of something stupid, and then just say the opposite. That's how you learn to be wise. But the difference between the foolish woman and the wise woman is that the wise woman, she sits at the gate. She cries out in the chief places. She sits at the busiest corners in the entrances of the cities, in the marketplace, in the heart of where the rulers sit, in the busiest places of commerce. Wisdom sits to direct lives. But what does she cry out? What is this wise woman cry out? She cries out, how long, you stupid, simple fools, how long will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wow. The wise woman, she's crying out, how long? How long will you delight in scorning other people, putting other people down? How long will you continue to use words that demean other people? How long will you do that? A fool hates knowledge. Is there anyone, she says, that can hear me? She says, goes on to say right then, if you'll return at these words, if you'll change, I'll pour my spirit into you and I will make my words known to you. If you turn and go the other way, I'll pour out my wisdom like a fountain. How long will we go on content without having the fullness of wisdom that we need? So can I have the overhead number 4? I had to give these to Apostle Teresa to run for me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Above all, get wisdom. How many times can we say that? How many times can we tell ourselves, above all, above everything else in the world that we could seek for, above everything, it's the most important thing. How we've read that so many times, but do we believe it and do we activate it? And is it the most principal thing in our lives? The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We've all read that so many times. The Living Bible says, for the reverence of God is basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Now that fear is not being afraid, it's reverence. The reverential acknowledgement of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Lord is understanding. So we see then a procession of what that means. And it's first, we need to learn. We need to learn about the Lord. We need to accumulate facts about him. We need to study. Only in that way can we come into the next place where we can understand. Understanding is the purpose or the object of knowledge. Well, it doesn't do us any good to have all these facts if we don't know how to process them, if we can't discern them, if we can't choose from them, if we can't receive revelation from them. The whole idea is that we have to accumulate data and then begin to understand it and discern it. And then the wisdom is how we apply that understanding. Are you following me? Wisdom is the application of what we understand. It's the main thing. Wisdom is the main thing. The ability to live with the discernment of what we have learned and understood. What has been revealed to us, the main thing. God gives wisdom to those who ask. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom can judge between the true and the right and the lasting. It's the sum of learning and knowledge. Let's look at the next slide, please. Number five. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. Are you hearing me? And full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Oh my gosh. The consequence of wisdom will be pure. It will be innocent. It will not have a false motive. It will be honest. Wisdom that's from above will be peaceable. It lets go of anger. It is not full of rage, running around being angry at this and angry at that. But wisdom is driving toward peace, driving toward solution. Wisdom is always in the place of what is the peaceable solution to this. Wisdom, come on, you guys. Wisdom is gentle. It's gentle. It's mild-mannered. It's patient. It doesn't scream. Wisdom is willing to yield. See that? It's easy to be entreated. It's willing to yield. It listens to all sides. It can be persuaded. Wisdom is full of mercy. Mercy, what a journey. Mercy, deferring to other people, forgiving them again and again. Mercy is without partiality. Oh, we need to apply this today. We need to hear these words today in our solution of where we are right now and the troubles that we're facing. It's without partiality. It's without prejudice. It's without division. Wisdom is without division. It is neither male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek. Wisdom is without prejudice. To be partial, the Bible says, is a sin. Wisdom takes us to the place beyond partiality. And then the last thing it says is that the scripture says is that it's without hypocrisy. It doesn't tell one person one thing and another something else. Wisdom is genuine. It's authentic. Are we learning something today? Are we applying this to the place where we are today and the situations that we are facing? Okay, we can lift the slides. James says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. James then goes on to say, it's all about the power of your words, and life and death is in your tongue, and you've got to be able to control your tongue. You have to be able to know how the words you're speaking affect other people. Even kids kind of learn along the way, don't they, about what's good to say and what isn't. I mean, I had this kid tell me one day, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? You don't answer. That's wisdom, right? We know when to speak and when not to speak. And that's just a ridiculous example. But there's some things you don't have to say. There's some responses that are not wise to use. There are sometimes things we need to keep to ourselves. We don't always have to have a remark. Your words are creative. They create life. They give value to people. They give solutions. It's always, always about solutions. It's always about us gathering what we need and then having solutions to it. I read about how Warren Buffett, several years ago, he's one of the richest men in the world, and he decided to raise money for a charity by offering to go to lunch with somebody. And he went on eBay and put out this offer, and somebody actually gave him $351,000 to go to lunch with him, to access what he knows. Now, if that's the value of worldly wisdom, what is the price of godly wisdom? Bible says that God's wisdom is better than gold. James keeps telling us, who is wise? Show it by your conduct. Show it by the words you're speaking. Show it by your peaceableness. Show us by your character. It's not about all the great things you've done in life. It's about who you are. A wise person is not one who's pompous and parading about. A wise person is one who makes better choices. 1 Corinthians says that Jesus is the hidden wisdom of God. So we see that wisdom becomes a purpose, person. Wisdom is a person who dwells in us. And in Colossians, it says, in whom are hidden, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, that just hit me yesterday. All the treasures. In him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him we know is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we want to gain wisdom, we have to begin to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it goes way beyond what we've learned before. It goes way beyond our understanding right now, can I tell you, we don't even have a full concept of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's so imperative that we know that there's so much more. He's the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. Oh my gosh. So the key to choosing to be wise is to choose the right things. You can be wise and choose wrong things. But if you don't have a wisdom from God, you can have a worldly wisdom that's not necessarily evil. It's just not productive to leading you to this place that we want to gain. I have a relative who has a master's degree in Russian poetry. Now, that's not going to gain us much insight. I'm sure it's a beautiful experience. And you could teach about it. But what is the value to our eternal life? I have another relative who has a degree in Gregorian chant. So we're gathering facts and we're gathering information, but to what level does that gain us? Doug Larson says, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have rather talked. I love that one. That is such a good one. Kay Arthur says that wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Billy Graham says knowledge is horizontal and wisdom is vertical. It comes from above. Tony Evans says wisdom is the spiritual insight for earthly application. Wisdom is the ability to know what God wants and know how to apply it where you live right now. The American Heritage Dictionary says, wisdom is the understanding of what is true and right and lasting. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in a way that pleases God. Do you know that from even before biblical records, people were seeking wisdom? Wisdom had to do with moral standards. Wisdom had to do with how to counsel people of unusual intelligence. Wisdom was the way to approach life. And above all those things, wisdom was how to survive. How to survive. And don't we need wisdom right now to know how to survive? In the Greek, the word is Sophia. In the Hebrew, it's chokmah. I just want to say this now because nobody in the Bible is named Sophia. But if you want to get into the Gnostic doctrines, it's all about the goddess Sophia. The Bible does not discuss that. We're not talking about a person in terms of her being a goddess. But the early church followed that for a while until they disconnected with that idea. Paul said, we speak wisdom to those who are mature. So they had a different way of speaking to people who weren't. So mature people can grasp wisdom to a greater depth. Some people hear on one level, some people can hear on four or five different levels of a message that's given. If we could please go to the slide number 6. And I know we've seen these scriptures so many times. But through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding it is established. Any enterprise is built by wise planning and becomes abreast through common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. That just sums up everything we've been talking about. Wisdom is a house built. Through wisdom, we build. We build. What do we build? We build cities. We build help for the world. Through wisdom, we can accomplish something by building. Wisdom builds. And our understanding causes it to be established. What we understand, what we discern, causes the establishment of what we've built through wisdom. And any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense. That's like horse sense, right? Common sense. Sometimes we can build wisely, but then there's just some things that we just know need to be true. We just know what needs to happen. We don't need to always pray about that. We just know right off the spot, and it profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. So wisdom builds. Wisdom makes preparation. Proverbs says wisdom sets the table. Wisdom sends women. Come on. Sends men. Wisdom sends women too. They speak from the high place, from the gates of the city. Wisdom speaks an impactful word that can be heard by the rulers of the country. Wisdom has compassion. Wisdom preaches. Wisdom teaches. Wisdom can be trusted. I wrote a class on apostolic impact, and it's to teach people how to think differently, to teach us how to approach things in an apostolic way rather than a pastoral way. So you can pull up the slide now. Thank you. I appreciate it. Not yet. Just cancel for now. Thank you. I'm not ready to go there yet. Thank you. All right. So the first thing then is that wisdom is from God. Now, the standard for wisdom is always Solomon, who gave spiritual sacrifices, 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And when David died, he took over the kingdom. And he had a dream. And the Lord said, what is it that you could want? And Solomon chose wisdom. And God said, so your servant, wisdom, you will have to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. That's discernment, isn't it? That's the ability to govern. That's the ability to rule. That's the ability to lead, to distinguish between right and wrong. The ability to make better decisions. Wisdom runs contrary to emotional logic. Emotionalism wants to fight. Emotionalism wants to cuss and scream, go get guns and march in a riot. Wisdom speaks to us in a place of stability. Wisdom and knowledge and stability, the scripture says, shall be the sign of your time. Wisdom, knowledge, and stability. So the Lord is trying to bring us into this place of not reacting, not responding in an angry way to the things that are actually happening. There are real situations. They are horrible. They make us angry, but the response to it is wisdom, is strategy. What can I do? And I always say, you guys, that we are born to live in this time. We are born, you are born hand-selected to live through this time right now, because I believe that you have answers. So God said to Solomon, I'll give you wisdom and a discerning heart, and there will never be anybody like you again. And because you haven't asked for it, I'll give you wealth and honor. And there'll be no equal with you. There'll be no equal. And you'll get long life. And Solomon woke up and he realized he had a dream. But he became greater than all the kings, didn't he? Because wisdom is a gift from God. God is the source of wisdom. We don't get wisdom from playing certain kinds of cards and, ooh, there's a picture of this. We don't get wisdom from a Ouija board or for flipping a coin. We don't even get wisdom from a news channel. We get wisdom from above. But that wisdom, you see, to Solomon was conditional. If you keep my commandments, if you're obedient to me. But we see that Solomon lost everything, didn't he? He lost his wisdom. And is it a coincidence that all of the writings of Solomon are about the true women and the false? Because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and the wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not perfect. Is it a coincidence that he lost his wisdom? How can we lose the wisdom? By being too involved with everything else that's going on. Too many voices, yes, too many voices. It says that Solomon gained wisdom, all the wisdom under the sun. That means every single thing that could possibly be. Too much. We need to know what to process. We don't need to know what every God teaches. We don't need to know what every religion teaches. It took his wisdom away. And Solomon didn't repent, and his throne was not established forever. But there is this story about Solomon that's about the baby, the two babies that were born, and the woman said, well, while I was sleeping, she put her dead baby in my arms. And so they were fighting over, well, the living baby's mine. And so Solomon couldn't stop them arguing. So he said, give me a sword and I'm going to cut this baby in half and give half of the baby to this woman and half of the baby to that one. You see, wisdom is a tool for understanding the situation and bringing good judgment to it, and a fair answer would come. Now, it's risky to say something like that, isn't it? But he believed that the real mother would have compassion on the child. And the woman who said, give the other lady the baby, he knew she was the real mother. Is that right? Wisdom discerns. Wisdom discerns. Wisdom takes risks and discerns from the consequences of the risk. What is the answer? Wisdom positions us to know what to decide. Wisdom keeps us in difficult, what should I do here? What should I decide? Well, he had two choices and he discerned the right choice. Are you with me? Praise God. Praise God. So Paul says, where's the wise? This is an overhead. Can we just gain that, please? Paul's saying, where's the wise? That's what James was saying. And notice, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where is the disputer of the word? God has not made foolishness the wisdom of the world. Where are they? Where are they? What is their location? Where's the skilled expert? Where's the learned? Where's the sacred recorder, the writer, the interpreter, the teacher? Where's the disputer, the debater, the lawyer? Where are those that are discerning what the Lord has to say? There's two kinds of wisdom. One is false, and one is the wisdom that comes from above. The false is empty, it's void, it's puffed up, it's foolish. There's no hope for a fool. The guy who thinks he knows it all will never learn, but at least a fool is smart enough to know that he knows nothing, so that he can begin to want to learn. Listen, you can be foolish and decide to change. And some fools are smart enough to know that they need to start learning. Next slide, please. The things we all need wisdom for. We need wisdom to know and to love God first and foremost, to have a relationship with Him. We need wisdom to discern the truth. We need wisdom to do God's will. Wisdom is the key that unlocks the vault of all God's treasure. We need wisdom to know what to say and when to say it. We need wisdom on how to raise our children and keep them on the right path. We need wisdom to administer justice and to discern what's needed. We need wisdom to solve our problems. Wisdom to make right choices and right decisions. Wisdom is the skill that enables us to endure and overcome trials. I think we need to really think about that for a minute. Wisdom is a skill now that's going to enable you to endure this time. And it's going to cause you to overcome trials. Now here we are, we can lift that slide. Here we are in this time where many people are freed up now. They're not in quarantine here in Georgia. We went for a ride yesterday. There were people everywhere, people in restaurants laughing, sandals, shoes, all dressed up, cute as they could be, like nothing had ever happened. And that makes it really hard for those of us that have decided to stay home. Each of us have to have our own revelation on that. We must have our personal revelation on what to do right now. It's not an easy thing. It was easier last week when everybody was in quarantine. But now, when some of our friends are running around, what are you going to decide to do? And what is the risk we're taking not knowing the consequences? Because we haven't even come into gaining our statistics in Georgia yet. So what is the risk we're taking? There's a lot of things to consider here in terms of the wisdom for our own lives right now. What is the choice that we must make? If you have to work, then be safe about it. But don't just run around. Sorry. We can't just run around acting like everything is normal and back to square one. You know, we still have to be careful. It says that apostles speak wisdom of God in a mystery. I wanted to read that here from the book here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. We, and he's talking about apostles, we speak of God's secret, hidden wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. The Amplified Version says to lift us into the glory of his presence. Paul goes on to say, none of the rulers of this age understood it. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it, the secret wisdom to us by his Spirit. So wisdom is hidden. The treasures are hidden, but if we seek for them, God reveals them to us. It's kind of like that game of hide and seek where the Lord delights, it says, in hiding. But it's the wisdom of kings to discover what the answers are. It's our assignment to discover what the hidden wisdom is. What is it that the Lord is revealing to us in this hour? There's so many things that we're facing right now. It's not just the quarantine, but it's loss of jobs, and it's sorrow and sadness and so many places that we have to recover in our lives. And recovery is going to take a while, and it's just really a place that we need to address. So wisdom is crying for our understanding. She's pleading for us. Her deep desire is that we hear her. She's crying at the gates. She doesn't even have a microphone, but we need to hear. She's calling. How long will we be foolish about our choices? But we must stand in the presence of God and live a life that is full of character that other people can see. Our lives have to be the ensign, the sign of the wisdom of God that is within us. And so, Father, I thank you, God, that you take all of this and you cause it to apply to our lives today. Lord, I thank you that there's many people that are looking for answers. There's many people that are needing to hear from you today. Lord, there's so much discouragement, and there's so much unrest, and there's so much travail. And God, we're just expecting miraculous answers. Lord, we're expecting you to move into our heart and into our life with responses and revelation that we need to hear. God, I thank you that the words don't go forth void, but that they sit in our hearts and in our minds. And God, you activate this word and you show us how to apply it. God, I speak wisdom to each person that's here. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak wisdom beyond what they've experienced, Lord, into the place, Lord, of that emptiness, confusion, loneliness, despair. God, I speak peace. I thank you, Lord, that you are the leveler. God, that you are the one who comforts us. Lord, you are the one that imparts and ignites in us new reasons to live. God, new vision for the future. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank God. Thank you for letting me share with you today. I'm so blessed that you would allow me to be a part of your day today. And I hope that we can do this again soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center podcast. Tune in next week and connect with us at thescribalconservatory.com.